All right, before I get into my message, I will just introduce myself. There are a lot of familiar faces here. There are some new faces here. So it's really good to see the new faces as well as the familiar ones. But my name is Levi Schooley, and I am a part of a missions board called International Partnership Ministries. And we partner with national missionaries, which is people who are ministering and planting churches in their own countries. And so we partner with them in a variety of ways to bring them here to the United States to get support, but also to send people from the United States over to them to help educate them and assist them in the ministry in a variety of ways. So I call myself an international children's evangelist because my primary role is to come alongside our national pastors and to assist them with their children's ministries. And so that can look a variety of different ways. Sometimes I'm teaching children through VBSs or through even Christian education in Christian schools or just evangelistic outreaches or clubs. And then other times I'm just teaching adults, either through preaching from pulpit ministry or through training teachers and just educating people on how to teach and reach children even better. So that's just a little bit about me. For the last 3 years, I have not been able to travel internationally. But I've been started out due to COVID, and then now it's as things are beginning to open up, now it's kind of just I've kind of locked myself in with a particular church and trying to get the children's ministry there going to a point where I am able to actually leave it alone and it will still thrive when I'm gone. But I hope to travel overseas very soon here, and looking forward, probably the next field that I'll be visiting will be Africa. We have several fields that are really desperate to have us pay some attention to them, I think. So I'll probably sometime in the hopefully near future, within the next year or so, be planning a fairly extended trip to Africa, visiting several countries there and working with our pastors. But I do just want to thank you all for your support. I know sometimes missionaries are just a name on a list, and now you get to see my face. And I'm not the best missionary at communicating what's happening, as the secretaries would probably know, but... So it's good to pop in and see you all every now and again and just keep you abreast. But I do thank you for your support, and it means a lot. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and chapter 2. Now, what I would like to do is I'd like to talk to you about your life. Your perfect life. I brought a piece of paper with me this evening to help me illustrate what I want to teach. And this piece of paper, if you look at it, it's almost perfect in most ways. It's a perfect square. There are no drawings on it. It's very clean. Very few, if any, wrinkles or dimples or dents. This paper is pristine. All of us have a life, and we have a vision for what our life could or possibly should be. And in our vision of what our life should be, it usually does not include difficulties or any bends or breaks or anything of that nature. But our life, even though we have sort of a perfect image of what we would like our life to be, God also has a particular plan for what he wants our life to be. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 gives us just a glimpse into what this might mean. Now, it follows two very familiar verses. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In other words, he's saying your salvation doesn't come through human working. But then he says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He starts out with salvation because if you want to have God's perfect life for yourself, then the first thing that you are going to need to have happen is that you are going to need to be God's. Which means that you are going to need to be in God's family and a part of God's family and his plan. And the way you do that is through something we commonly call salvation, which, simply put, is just recognizing that you are bad and that Jesus is the only good person who has the capability
of making you right with God. If you're here tonight and you have any hope in your heart that you will be good enough and you will be able to please God by yourself, you are mistaken. And that trust on yourself means that you are not trusting fully on Jesus and what He did for you when He died on the cross and rose again. Jesus died for you to take your punishment so that you could be made right with God. No goodness of your own, only through Him. And if you have not put your full trust on Him tonight, you must do that in order to be made right with God. That is the first step to realizing your perfect life as God's workmanship. Now, this word workmanship, it means God's working or what He does through us. My favorite way of translating this would be His masterpiece. What does an artist do with a piece that he wants to show off? Well, that piece, it goes through a lot of different things in order to become his masterpiece. Now, I want to take this piece of paper and I want to make it my masterpiece tonight. But in order to do this, it can't just stay this perfect piece of paper. I am going to need to bend it and even perhaps to break it. In order for you to become God's masterpiece, you must first be saved. And for a lot of people, becoming saved is very difficult because they recognize that when you become saved, that you are turning your life over to God, and that can be a very difficult thing, and they do not want to do it. Perhaps there are some things they know God will want to get them to give up, and they're not willing to give them up. I've put a bend in this piece of paper, and you know what? This piece of paper will never be the same. I can never take this bend out of this piece of paper. But in order to make this piece of paper what I need it to become, I've got to put this bend in it. There are also people, they come to God and they may say, I can't come to God because I'm too bad. God can't fix me. Or they think, I have to fix myself first in order to come to God. I have some news for you. God takes broken people. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, before verses 8 and verse 9, what he was telling them is he was saying, look at your past lives. And he begins to list all of the bad things that they did in their past lives. Now, we have some young people here, and you probably haven't done very bad things in your past life because you're still pretty little. You haven't had a lot of time to do some really, really awful things. But there are people in this world who have done some pretty atrocious things, some things that some people may say are unforgivable. God can take broken people, and He can transform them into something beautiful. It's not going to be because of what they did, it's going to be because of what He does in them through Jesus Christ. I don't know what your past has been, but if you have surrendered to Jesus Christ for salvation, you are now God's. Hopefully, you will let Him do with you what you will, but that past, however bad it might have been, it can still shine for God's glory. Not the evil of the things that you did, but the fact that Jesus was able to take you and make you His. And that is beautiful, even all on its own. But once we become saved, then God has even more that He wants for us to do. In these verses, He's saying, you were saved not because of the things that you did, but you were saved by what Jesus did for you. And so what does He say? He says, God has ordained that you should walk in them. You see, in order for God to turn you into something beautiful, to make you His masterpiece, it may mean that it's going to go against what you hoped for yourself. God may require something that we will call obedience. Now, obedience isn't just for the little ones. It's for every single person. But there are things that God tells us to do, and we may not want to do them. But in order for this paper to become my masterpiece this evening, it has to be willing to be bent. The only reason that I am able to turn this paper into something even more special and even more beautiful is because this piece of paper is willing to be bent, willing to be molded by my hands. Not everything that God calls you to do will be something that you're willing or want to do. For us adults, giving away money can be pretty hard, but God does ask us to give. For us adults, sometimes we have certain things that we want to spend our time on, and God says, I want you to do something different. And we may say, that's pretty hard. I don't know that I want to do that. But if you are going to become God's masterpiece, you must be willing to be bent. You must surrender to what God wants you to do and obey Him. That may mean, for some of us, a change in careers. That may not be easy. It may mean giving up a lot of money. And our lives may suffer because of that. For some of you little ones, it may mean that your mother tells you to do something and you're going to say, I'm going to obey my mother even though I'm doing something I want to do right now and she's making me do something I don't want to do right now. Will you be willing to be bent and to actually obey so that God can turn you into something beautiful? All of us struggle with obedience, even if it's just reading our Bibles some mornings or praying. Some of these things that God calls us to do can be blessed and can be wonderful when we surrender to them. And sometimes they're just a chore. I have to be honest. But if we are going to become what God wants us to become, then we must be willing to obey Him and what He wants us to do. But in our obedience, there may come things into our lives that God calls trials. Things that happen in our lives that may not be good things. Now, trials can take a variety of different forms. Perhaps you are born with a physical disability. These trials can come even from the time that we are born. And we say, God, I just wish I wasn't born with this disability. Or perhaps you're not as tall as you wanted to be, or perhaps you're not as short as you wanted to be, or perhaps you're not in the family that you hoped that you would be. We say, God, my life, I don't like this life that you're making for me. But can we trust in God's big plan? You know, there are people in the Bible, and we see that their lives weren't quite turning out the way that they wanted them to turn out. In fact, the Apostle Paul was one of these people. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about all of the things that God had given him, his credentials, as it were. He was such an important person. And everybody was beginning could look at Paul and say, you're such an important person, no wonder God has chosen you because you have all of these credentials. And then Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, he talks about how, or verse 8, he talks about how God, sort of to knock him down a bit, even though he had all these credentials, God put something into his life that he did not like. And so he said to God three times. He prayed to God desperately and said, God, please take this thing out of my life. I don't like it. And three times God came back to him and said, no. You are going to live with that. Paul then says this, verse 9, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made, can you read the word? Perfect. Your perfect life. Paul had an idea for how he wanted his life to be. I don't know whether it was a sickness that he was struggling with, whether it was a disability, whether it was a person that was in his life that he didn't necessarily like in his life. I don't know what it was. He doesn't say. But God said that in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. In order for Paul to become the person that God wanted him to become God's masterpiece, Paul had to surrender to something that he probably felt was not perfect. Surrender to something that made him seem weak, so that God's strength could be made perfect. I don't know what that may be in your life, whether it's been a sickness, whether it's a person, whether it's a circumstance or a job, but maybe God has put something into your life and you have asked God, please, can I just get rid of this particular thing? I don't like it very much. I think my life would be much, much easier if I just had this thing gone. And maybe God is saying to you, no, be willing to be bent. Be willing to sacrifice your idea of a perfect life so that I can turn your life into my masterpiece. Now, I've been folding this piece of paper and it looks kind of funny now. I don't know, do you have any idea what this paper might be becoming? Any ideas at all? A bird, that's a good guess. Anyone else want to take a guess? What does it look like? An owl? Oh, it does kind of look like an owl. That would also be a good guess. All right, well, let me make a couple of more folds. You see, as our lives progress, we don't always see the big picture. We don't always see what God is trying to turn us into in the moment. In the moment, sometimes trials can seem hard. Trials can seem difficult. Do you know what James said about trials? Over in James chapter 1, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith maketh perfect." You see, he said that you want a perfect life. You want that life that God said. He said, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting nothing. God has a design for you and for your life. But in order to do that, it may not line up with your idea of what your life is going to look like. Maybe it's a new child that comes along, which you desperately wanted, but my, there's going to be a lot of difficulties associated with that. But God is going to use that little child to shape you. God puts many things in our lives to make us perfect, whole and entire. Something perfect, but it may not be the type of perfection that you are looking for. The type of perfection, when I say perfect, I mean something whole and entire, something that doesn't glorify you, but rather glorifies God. There's another story in the Bible, and this was the story of Paul and his friend Silas. They're out and they're doing a good thing. They're preaching God's word. And what happens to them? God has to bend them a little bit. Some people get angry with them, and they get put into prison. Now, if I'm put into prison, I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, God, this is not good. This is not where I need to be. I thought this a little bit whenever it was COVID, and I couldn't travel internationally. God, I don't like being grounded. This doesn't seem to be what you've called me to. Paul and Silas get put in prison because they were doing what God wanted them to do. And as they were doing this, they chose to let God bend them. Their response to God's trial was a response of obedience. Many of you probably know this story. While they're there in prison, they are singing and praising God. Like, yippee! God, look at the terrible, horrible things that you're doing in our life. We can't wait to see how you are going to glorify yourself through us. And so they're singing and praising God. And you know what God does for them? He sends an earthquake. The prison doors break open, their chains and shackles fall off, and they're able to lead someone very special to Jesus Christ because of that. Through their obedience, God was able to use them to glorify Himself. Okay, I fold it a little more. What do you think it is? Yeah? A frog. Oh, that would be that's a very good idea. Yes, it does look a lot like a frog. Any other ideas? A boat. Oh, that is a good idea. Now, you see, sometimes in our trials and our tribulations, we can't see what God is going to do in that particular moment. We have to wait. Now, James, later in his book, he said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that he is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Do you remember the story of Job? Okay. Did Job have his life bent? Yes, he did. In fact, in one day, he loses everything that he owns. But it doesn't stop there. Now, I've been talking about trials as if they were fairly benign. I mean, things like losing a job or things like getting sick. These things, they happen and then you move on. But there are some trials that come into our life. You can't move on. I don't know what it may be. It may be the death of someone that you loved, a death of a child or death of a parent or a sibling, something unexpected. It may be a debilitating disease where God takes something that you held dear, an arm or a mind or an eye. And as these things come, a lot of people, they try and say, you know, just look for the silver lining. Try and find the good thing in this bad situation. But in that moment, you can't. There are some trials that will come, and many of you have been protected. I haven't really suffered in a lot of these ways. My life has been, so far, a very easy life. I can't say that I have suffered. But when those trials come, there's no way to fix it. I have just tore this piece of paper. The creases were one thing, the bending, but now it's broken. God brought Job to the very edge of death, losing not only the things that he owned, but even all of his children. You can't get that back. Yet what does Job say? Well, over in Job chapter 23, verse 10, you don't have to look at it, I'll read for you. He says, "God knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I will come forth as gold." In the very deepest moment of his suffering, when he was bent and broken with nothing left, Job was able to say, "God has a plan. And when I come through to the other side, I will be vindicated. You will know that I am perfect and I am tried in the fire as if gold." Job kept his mind on God, and he knew that at the end of his trial, he would be better than at the beginning. Perhaps you've heard the verse in Romans where Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I've often heard people use this verse in the moments of trials to just say, "Look, this might be a bad thing, but God means it to turn into something good." I have to tell you, I don't think that's a proper interpretation of that verse. Not everything that happens in life is going to turn out good. What he's speaking about is, before this, he's talking about the eternal glories. In other words, he's saying, don't worry about how bad things get on this earth. Well, do you know what I'm going to turn this piece of paper into? In only one more fold, I'm going to show you something beautiful. But you can't see it yet. The trials that you come into your life, they may, even to the very end of your life, you may never be able to say, this is a good thing. But if you are willing to be bent and broken for God and respond in the right way, in the eternal glories hereafter, God will show you all of the good things that came out of even the worst situations. Okay, it's time. Would you like to see my masterpiece? All right, let's see if we can do this here. Okay. Now, do you know what it is? Oh, it's a fish, okay? So, yeah, my masterpiece isn't very impressive, I admit. But it looks a lot different than the paper that I started with. And you might have to agree, it's at least more interesting than the paper that I started with. But I could only do this with this paper by bending it, by breaking it, and only because the paper was willing to be bent and broken. I hope that you haven't experienced great trials in your life, but are there areas in your life of obedience that you are not surrendering to God? And you are holding on and saying, God, I think if I live this way, I can transform my life into something a little better than what you would rather me do. Or perhaps it's a trial, something small that you're struggling with and you just don't have that patience. You can surrender that to God and say, God, I will sing through this trial, knowing that you are going to use it to make me weak so that you can be glorified in me. Or perhaps it's been a devastating loss. Or will be a devastating loss. Something that breaks you so hard you think you will not live any longer. You can be confident knowing that you are God's workmanship, His masterpiece, to be transformed in Christ if you will just be willing to obey and walk in the way He wants you to walk, no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, no matter the step of obedience. I'm going to just close the sermon here in prayer, and I'll ask whoever's going to come up and introduce the prayer request to come. While I pray, I just want you to just consider your own heart. First of all, just praise God, if you have been saved, for the place that He has put you, that He can transform you into something beautiful, not so that you will shine, but so that Jesus can shine through you. And if there are steps of obedience or trials that you are going through right now, ask God for the strength to just do what He wants you to do so that He can mold you and make you into the thing that He wants you to be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for what You have called us to and just the opportunity and the grace that You have given to us so that we can be molded into something beautiful for Jesus, letting Him shine through us. Lord, if there is a person here who is suffering or will be suffering a great trial or tribulation, would You help them to have the patience to endure that and to come through on the other end glorifying You, knowing that it was You that was doing that in them? If there is someone here who is struggling with a particular area of obedience, would You help them to have the strength, knowing that You can give them that strength to overcome that? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.